Hey everyone, I'm Tima from Shades and Pages, and welcome to Brazenly Shady, your ticket to hot and unfiltered conversations about all things Black romance. Tap in, everybody. We're about to take y'all on a ride.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Brazenly Shady. I'm Sharonda, and
of course, I'm Tima. Reporting to you live from Oklahoma City.
How?
I'm giving news reporter today.
What an introduction and shit. Damn. Okay, well, I'm just from little old Jersey, but you know, I guess.
It's even Channel 3.
Not Channel 3. Oh, you got your own channel?
Channel 3.
Oh.
Hey, guys. We really missed you guys.
For real. Because it's, you know.
Life has been lifing.
Don't get me started.
Where I feel like we were reading, but we just could not coordinate a time to get together, aka I'm a bleeding Sharonda.
Wow. Damn.
Because I, Tima, aka Shades and Pages, I'm perfect.
Oh.
Perfect. Psycho, okay?
I mean, listen, I am going to say it was my fault. You know, I wasn't feeling up to par to record, you know. But, you know, my girl was like, girl, whatever, when you ready. But I know she was trying to be in my ass, like, you doing too much. Hurry your ass
up. I was not. I feel like mental health is important and you weren't feeling well. So whenever you get up to 100%, we were going to go ahead and record because, you know what, we want to be in tip-top shape when we bring these books to you guys. Don't we love y'all? Ugh.
We always giving y'all the good news and the bad news and the news in between with these books. Y'all know how we do.
And news that you didn't ask for, but we going to give it to you any goddamn way. So let's get into it.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to discuss two little novellas today. Tama, I'm telling y'all right now, Tama picked these books. I'm putting it on her.
Throw me under the bus. Skid marks on my back. Throw me under the bus. Right. Anyway, so yeah, I found two novellas since Sharonda won't put me under the bus. And, no, I've been on my new to me author kick. So I feel like I wanted to give some new authors a chance. So buckle up, y'all.
Buckle up, buttercup, okay? All right, so here we go. We're going to start off. The first book is called Ready by Alicia Weathers Gray. This is a novelette book. And it is a marriage in distress story. So I'm just going to tell y'all right off the bat, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was just a whole lot of stuff going on inside of this book that I was just like, mainly, Savannah worked my nerves. That's all I'm going to say. She worked my nerves. And I just wanted her.
Savannah was a lot. And I feel like, basically, we started the book with Savannah at a family gathering and her soon-to-be ex-husband, Blue, shows up because, you know, they were married for a while and he still got ends with the family, so they invite him, which in, I'm going to say this right now, if I'm divorcing you, anybody else invite my ex to a party and I'm divorcing him, I'm throwing hands. Okay?
I 100% agree with that. Like, I get it, but listen, no. If y'all know we are not together, we divorcing, we separating, whatever. Do not invite my ex nowhere I'm going to be. Y'all can still be cool with that mother trucker if you want to, but he better not be nowhere where I be.
Better not be cool around me. Because I'm throwing hands.
And like,
So he shows up.
I thought that was rude. I didn't like that. I thought it was rude.
That was very rude. But anyway, he shows up and Savannah saw him and she instantly gets angry, like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? And I feel like the majority of the frustration that comes with this book is because the author did not give us the details. Yes. I feel like backstory would have helped. If this book was just a little bit longer, I feel like it would make sense. Because right now, Savannah just felt so freaking infuriating to me. Like, I was like, she was insufferable. Like, I'm like, girl, what the hell? And it's like, they basically are on the way to a divorce, and he shows up and they still have this sexual chemistry. They still have this thick sexual chemistry. And that's one thing I could say. You could feel, even though it's a short book, you could just feel the sexual chemistry and the tension between this couple to the... Yeah, it was so thick that they ended up in the bathroom fucking at the party.
At the goddamn family cookout. I was like, oh, okay. It was that deep.
And
but when reading the story, you could still see she had feelings for him. But I do agree with Tame 100%. I do think that the author should have been a little, could have gave us more of a backstory. Since this was literally a novelette book, I feel like she should have gave us some type of backstory as to what was going on between Savannah and Blue.
And we didn't figure out what was going on until it was like the end of the story. Basically, a past employee lied on him saying that she was pregnant for him. So Savannah, having her own issues with having a baby for her husband, feels insecure about that, and then she just divorces him. And this is where the issue comes in when I said lacking details, because one, how a woman could just up and lie on you. And I, you know what, let me stop, because
no, don't
crazy.
Say that, because that
bitches is crazy. Bitches is crazy, so I'm not gonna say that, but I feel like I take that back, y'all. Bitches out there is crazy. So this woman lied and said that she was pregnant for her husband. And he said he ain't never touch her. Nah, girl like me, I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't believe that shit. Cause I'd be like, how's she gonna lie on you?
This is where the inconsistencies in the story came from, because I feel like we should have had, it was never given a reason as to why she had such a huge distrust or just didn't believe her husband. For me, it was like, did he do this shit before? Right? Did he cheat before? And you gave him more than one chance. And right? And it's like, and now you just don't believe him with this latest story. That was never revealed. You know what I mean? And then the other part is, why the fuck did this girl just come and lie like that? Like, she just, like, did she try to come on to him? And he turned her down and she was like, well, I'm just going to lie on you. Like, that was the inconsistency for me. I just feel like things needed to be more in depth explained, and we didn't get that. And it was like, it was crazy. And it was like, she wouldn't let him back in the house or get back with him until it was proved through the blood test after this girl had this baby that it wasn't his. And it was like, I don't know. Don't they got a way of finding out even before that? Because do the baby
they have that what they call it? Amniocentesis? Don't quote me on this. Don't quote me on this. I don't know.
Listen, I think there's some kind of test out there that can prove that the baby ain't the daddy's or the supposed to be daddy's before the baby come out into the world. So, but for me, the big issue for me with this book was, I just feel like for her to have such this huge distrust of her husband, we needed a reason why. I needed a reason why. Like, did this man do this before? Maybe once or twice, three, four, five times before for you to just automatically just believe that
he tried to talk to her, but she wouldn't talk to him. And it's like, you are busting it wide open for this dude, but you won't talk to him. Like, you are replacing sex with communication. He's yes. trying to get you to talk to him. And you're like, nah, I don't want to talk. But you could get these walls, though.
Yeah, and I just thought that was just really weird behavior. I mean, I get it. I get it, especially if there's a huge sexual attraction between couples and you're going through some shit. So I understand just like breaking down and breaking a Negro off some pussy because, you know,
yeah,
you're feeling it. You know what I'm saying? But it was just too much inconsistency. The other thing I did not like about this book is we didn't get a break off of chapters and paragraphs. Like it just went into, it was just, the story just kept going and going.
Maybe I was fighting for my life trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
I don't know where we was, like who was who, what, whose story we were, who's not
point of view, point of view. Whose point of view you were getting, because it was like a big old run-on sentence. And I was like, girl, where we stopping, where we ending, what's going on?
This book, even at its novelette baby stage, would have really benefited from some from an editor, like for real, because we needed to know what POVs we were going into. I don't want to be going into somebody POVs and be like, oh shit, how we get here? We needed that to be more clear too.
They tell us, she told us that they prove that it was proven that the lady lied on him, but we did not see that on page. For that to be such a pivotal part of this book, girl, why you ain't show us? What?
And y'all know I'm always going, me and Tame are always going back about her wanting less, and I'm like, it was fine. But I'm 100% agree with her. This should have been either a full-length novella or a full-length book, because there were just too many plot points missing.
Yeah, and this book was like 50 pages, and it just needed to be longer because the details just make the story. I feel like we needed more details to make the story believable, because I was like, girl, so you tell me it was proven that she was lied and you ain't even, and we didn't get that on page? Come on, man.
We needed that. And there was a part where we just went straight into a POV where the girl shows up at his office and he was just like, what the fuck are you doing here? And that was it. And I was like, what's going on? What happened? What happened with that scene? Like, we should have got some type of confrontation between him and his girl on page, or him, his wife, and his girl on page. Like, we needed that. As readers, we needed that. Listen, this is a great plot bunny for a story. It really is. But it needed to be more full. It needed to be a more fuller length book, because there was just too many things missing, too many things not explained. And yeah, and you will get frustrated. Like, you understand Savannah's point of view of not taking no shit from a man when you find out he done did some bullshit, but we need the reasons why. And I feel like as readers going inside this story, a lot of readers are going to walk away from this book frustrated more with Savannah than Blue, because he's trying like shit to keep his marriage. He loves his wife. He wants to be with his wife. He don't want to divorce his wife, but she was not making that shit easy for him at all. And I just feel like for her to be so stonewalled and not taking no excuse from him, no reasons. Yeah, I needed to know why. I needed to know why. Like, I needed to know why you were so against not getting back with this man. Like, I get finding out your husband cheated and bitch, oh, a baby on the way? Yeah, I'm leaving you. But it was just like, the man said he did not sleep with this girl, and she just refused to believe him. So I just feel like we needed a reason why she was so adamant on not believing him. He had did this shit in the past.
You know, like, give motherfucker
one, two, sometimes four or five times.
Or it could be a case of insecurity where she's been trying to have a baby and you go out and have a baby with some other chick, how do mind I slap you? How do mind I slap you? You understand? Yeah, so maybe she was making decision out of her, because it's like, damn, we've been trying to have this baby and, you know, somebody else has given him the baby that I couldn't give him. That's hurtful.
But with no conversation on page between this couple, we don't know. There was no actual conversation on page between them in regards to him supposedly sleeping with this girl and getting her pregnant. And again, even if he kept telling her, this girl is lying on me, this woman is lying on me, okay, why would this woman just randomly lie on him like that? Like, was she trying to push up and he told her no? You know, it could, so many things could have came out of this story. I just think a lot of opportunities was missed. I think, again, like I said, I think it's a great story plot, Bunny, for the book itself, but it was just too many missing plot points, and I just needed more. Okay. I'm 100% be behind Tamer this time. We need a mo. This shit needed to be a full length book.
First of all, you need to be 100% behind me at all times. But anyway,
I am always 100% behind you at all times. Get out here. But you know me and you go back and forth about the length of these books.
We do.
We be going at it, because I'd be like, Tamer, it's Tamer be like, I just needed more. I'd be like, okay. All right.
Hey, more.
That's how she, I just like, you know what? I ain't gonna say nothing. But for the most part, I think Freddie is a good story. It just needed more. It just needed to be longer. It needed more world building, more plot building, more growth of these characters and their situation. But for the most part, I liked it. Didn't love it. I liked it. That's all I could say.
Agreed.
So, yeah. I mean, listen. We needed more here. We needed more here.
Definitely needed more.
But not the end of it all. It wasn't a bad story.
I feel like it had a lot of potential to be great, but should have been longer.
Definitely.
Just to give us a little more background information and to just let certain things on page. The scene where they found out that girl lied, we should have seen that, because that was the whole reason why they were getting a divorce. Literally, she lied on him. And this man I feel like he groveled and he was trying to get his family, you know, his wife back.
He groveled like a motherfucker, which I don't have no problem with a man groveling to get his, you know, get his wife back. And that's who he really wants to be with. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was just too much missing in between with this. We needed way, way more.
I agree.
Sex scenes were juicy as usual, but it kind of like, I feel like the sex
was good.
The sex was good, but I feel like when the story ain't hitting the way it's supposed to be hitting, it kind of puts a downer on the sex, no matter how good it's written. It's just like, well, we need to get to what's going on between these people.
Agreed.
Know? So, yeah. I mean, it's like a straight erotica book, then that's something different, but, you know, it is what it is at this point, honey.
True.
But, yeah. But, as we always say, check it out any other way, and let us know.
Yeah, check it out. This book.
Let us know what y'all thought. I really had some questions. But that's going to take us on into our next book, which is Double Nothing, A Soul Tie Short by the Tasha Marie.
Nah, Tasha. Tasha.
Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you something.
No, you're wrong for this book, Tasha.
Child, I was ready to come through this book and beat this Negro up.
This dude have the fucking audacity.
He had more audacity than the Lord himself. I was like, he doing too much. He doing what?
I'm gonna have to go ahead and call this an ode to struggle love. I'm sorry, Tasha. I'm sorry, but this is struggle love. This is struggle love, Tasha.
So in this story, we have how you pronounce this character's name, Tama? Help me out.
Sarai?
Anyway, so we have Sarai and Ishmael who meet
Ishmael
while they're both on vacation, instant connection, and child eight. They on this island bumping heads,
bumping
tongues. They doing everything. It was hot. It was hot. Them beating up and having that instant connection and having the freaky, funky sex on the island was, listen.
And I think this insta love section in this book was actually believable because
it worked.
You could feel the freaking chemistry between this couple. Like, you could feel it. Like, Dave was nasty too. Like, he was very, you know, yeah, he gave off
a freaky ass
man. Yeah. And you know, they met each other, exchanged numbers, but they kind of like lost the way.
They lost contact.
And four years has passed, right?
4 years, y'all. 4 months.
This negro. He is now in a relationship, been with this girl for 4 years. He's thinking about proposing to her, but he feels like, damn, I ain't sure if this is something that I want to do because I still thinking, but Sarai, I still feel like I have this connection with her. You understand? So he texts Sarai if I'm fucking up this name, I'm so sorry. So he's texting her and is like, hey, what's up? I want to meet. Boy, what the fuck?
This is the shit that pissed me off. You are going now, they live in two different states. Now he's going to Sarai's state because he has every intention on asking this woman that he's currently involved with, asking her parents for permission, their old school shit, to marry this woman.
And basically, he want to get that last pump out with Sarai so he could see if he wants to fuck Sarai one last time to make it to see if, okay, do I need to marry this girl or I need to be on this in this situation with Sarai, which is some fucked up shit. You understand what I'm saying?
Fucked up because you didn't tell this lady that you did not tell her the reason that you were visiting her city. You just like, oh, I'm going to be in your city. Let's hook up. This girl done went out, got her coochie shaved, her hair done, her nails done. She went to the lingerie store, got a sexy ass pussy revealing outfit. And this negro, like, what was he going to do? Fuck her that one night? Go back home? Go back to the woman he would?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying to do.
Go back to his state?
He planning to. Because he feel, okay, the thing about it is, what I don't understand is that you have this connection with Sarai. You have this deep, deep connection with her. Y'all hit it off. Y'all know y'all got this shit. Y'all, why don't you just put the effort in and be with this girl? You understand what I'm saying? If that's the case, this is what niggas do. See, this is why I get mad. This is what niggas do. Y'all know. Y'all be settling for women, leading women on, staying in these relationships because you was with this girl for 4 years. So obviously something was there. You was with her for 4 years. But then again, I can't say that because niggas is lie and they just be with people. They will be with you and for 4 years. And when the person that they really want show up, deuces like Chris Brown, they gone. You understand? They will leave you in the dust. You understand what I'm saying?
You know what pissed me off about Ishmael's character? He was so ridiculously weak. It's like if you knew that you had strong feelings for Saraya or Saray, whatever her name is, you should have made I get the falling off, you know, with connection and stuff like that between people that live in like long distance relationships and people saying we're going to be, you know, we're going to try to stay. I get all of that. But you were in a relationship with this other woman for 4 years. You should have been man enough to tell her, like, hey, I don't know if I want to be in a serious relationship with anybody, because I hooked up with somebody 4 years ago and I still kind of like got strong feelings for this person. So I don't know.
Right.
I just feel like he just was not his. He bothered my spirit in this book.
He wasted all girl time.
4 years.
And then you showed up to this girl house and then you can tell her in front of her parents, I'm not sure this is what I want to do. You should be glad she ain't pull out the tech nine on you, because a slap was not enough.
You know what's most insulting for somebody to be with you that length of time and say, I love you, but I don't love you, but I'm not in love with you. I'm gonna need for you to get the fuck out my face, because no, sir. And when were you going to change? And again, for me, when was he going to change his fucking mind? Was he going to fuck Soraya first? Get married to this chick in Denver? Like, I did not like him. I did not like him. He was a terrible, terrible ass person. And I feel like by the end of this book, Soraya did not need him. She needed to just cut his ass off and go on about her business. No.
That's
no.
Why I said this was some struggle. This was some struggle love shit, because Soraya saw him in the mall with his fiance. And this nigga had the audacity to call her and was like, have that pussy ready for me. Have that pussy ready for me. And she actually slept with this dude.
That's not, you know, I won't say that's not a believable thing, because this shit happens. This shit happens. People do this shit. But I just feel like she should want it more, because then at that point, I can't trust you. You were with this woman for 4 years. I see you at the mall. You can't lie. I see you at the mall with her after I'm trying to get myself together for you, thinking this is going to be a visit that's going to reconnect us. And I see you with another woman with a fucking ring on her finger. Like, no. Ishmael was a piece of shit. I'm sorry. He's a piece of shit. He's not a likable character. He needed to be in hell with Satan, and Soraya deserved better. I'm sorry. She did. She deserved better.
It was given struggle, because Soraya knew, she knew this dude was, and he was like, oh, she's not you. Why y'all think y'all going in these relationships with these niggas who didn't do somebody else dirty and y'all they can get do dirty too?
What I'm saying? Like, you can't trust him. He was engaged. He was fully engaged. He done bought a ring. He was going to this lady house to her parents' house to propose. Like, no, not trustworthy. I'm sorry, not trustworthy. I can't trust you. Like, no. And then you calling me talking about something. It was a mistake. I love you. I realize it was a mistake. I want to be with you. Like, no. So fuck this girl that you done fucked up. Fuck her heart, right? Her heart all fucked up and broke the fuck up. Fuck her, right? Nah, sir. I can't fuck with you. You're gonna have to go on Sabbath or whatever, but go through Lent. I don't know, but you can't come here. You cannot come here. Gotta get your life right. Ain't no way. Mm-mm. And I'm not gonna sit up here as a woman and just feel some kind of vindication because a man told me, oh, I left her to be with you. What? No. Not after, no.
After you already saw him and he was like, get the pussy ready for me. Have the pussy ready for girl.
And for him to have that much audacity to call this fucking girl and say, let me tell you something. You wouldn't have got at my door. I'm calling somebody. But you didn't have to up out of here.
He said, have the pussy ready for me. And she actually,
she had it ready. Yeah. I was so disappointed in her.
She actually had it ready.
I was so disappointed in her. Like, no, don't open the door. No. I want to say I like this book, but I just, Ishmael made it very, I feel bad for Saraya by the end of this book, because he was just not a man to trust. I'm sorry.
No, he wasn't.
I want to say I like this book, but he just made he it was bad.
It was given struggle on Saraya's part for me. It was given struggle.
Just take anything from the bottom of the rotten ass.
Basically.
I don't care how much attraction it is. It's just.
And then she said double or nothing. She sent the text that said double or nothing. How could you even send a text saying double or nothing, especially the meaning for double? Let me see if I can remember what they said about double or nothing. What it mean? Like, basically, let's go for it all. Let's make this happen or nothing at all. You ain't seen this man in 4 years. Y'all ain't been talking in 4 years.
Four whole years.
And not a word from you. Like, come on now.
4 whole nights.
And I'm just about, like, it's like 4 whole years.
Won't take it. Lock the motherfucking door. Don't let this motherfucker back in your house. Oh my God. I wanted her to just. No.
He was like, pick up the phone. Nah, I ain't picking up the phone. You lying ass.
He driving over to her house. You better speed drive your ass back where you came from, sir. Like, no.
Like, you embarrassed that girl in front of her parents, though. Like, that ain't you.
Bad enough if he would have did that to her if they were by themselves, but in this woman's house, her daddy should have took out a gun and shot his ass, because no. 4 years? No. I'm not even giving nobody a year at this motherfucking point, because women, black women, we deserve better, okay? No. 4 years? And you already done bought the ring? Nigga, go on somewhere. Go on. You playing. Play with your mama, not me. Get the fuck out of here. No.
Yeah, I did not. This book was not. No. This book wasn't it for me.
Miss Tasha, I would read any other books of yours, but ma'am, this book had me mad. It had me ready.
Yeah.
It had me ready to box somebody in their motherfucking face because I was mad. I don't know if that was your intention with this story, but nah.
It's given struggle.
Yeah, that was terrible. The story itself. Now, I will say with this book, her writing was on point. Okay. She wasn't fucking up the POVs and stuff.
Like yeah. The writing was good, but the storyline. Ishmael is a fuckboy, okay? Girl. He's a fuckboy, and we're not, no. Saraya deserved way better than that.
Way better than that. Put her with another nigga. Write another book and put her with another Negro.
We need a redemption arc for my sis.
We need a redemption arc for Saraya. We are putting in our motherfucking change.org papers right now. Ain't no way. She deserved better than that because, oh no, he was terrible. He was terrible. But yeah. Whew, child. But excellent writing, girl. You had us frustrated as fuck with this book. So excellent writing. But the Ishmael could freaking he could jump bungee, out of a plane with no parachute, just like that.
Ishmael could bungee jump from the crack of my ass. He was a horrible, horrible character.
We ain't like him.
Maybe that's what she wanted. Maybe that's what she wanted us to be frustrated with him.
Yeah, I mean,
if baby, that, listen, if that's what you her, wanted.
It's the girl that. Definitely happened. Cause whoop, she was terrible. But yeah, guys, that's how those are the two books we read. We're gonna move on to the bullshits version like we always do, because you know it's been some mess going on. In the bookish community, you know what? I ain't never gonna leave. I do not. I ain't you know what? I'm just going to say this. I'm not much of a fan of this community anymore, but I ain't never going to leave because the drama. Child. So we had a white author write not just a book, y'all. She wrote a whole series, which was a young adult series at that. A male young adult series. And the main character is she wrote it from a black male's perspective.
And she's a white woman.
This when we said more diversity, this is not what we asked for. This is not what I don't know why we keep getting this, but this is not what we asked for.
But this is what they want. They want to read black characters, but they do not want to read them written by black people. Okay?
But you can't say as a reader, especially as a black reader, you can't turn around and always say, because we get this a lot on these social media platforms, especially TikTok. We get a lot of these black TikTokers that will get on that platform and scream about they don't want to read trauma reads. Why all the black authors got to be writing black trauma stories? But a book like this, you suckers will pick up and go rate it 5 stars and read it, all because the author is white. So you're telling me you want black trauma stories, not from black authors, but you want black trauma stories from white people? You want stereotypical trauma-filled black stories from white authors? That okay.
That's what they want. That's what they want. Because I've seen it. Every time I get on that damn app, I'm shaking my head.
It's terrible. And it's just sad because this lady, Kay Webster is the author's name. She felt so goddamn comfortable. This lady wrote a whole series. She wrote a series with a prequel.
That was narrated by Jacoby.
Oh, Jacoby.
Jacoby was like, get the bag by any means necessary.
I understand.
Jacoby was like, fuck it.
No.
I'm in my bag. I'm getting my money.
Just no. It's so fucked up because then in her TikTok, she didn't even know how to pronounce his name. Is that his name? You mean to tell me you hired, anyway, typical white woman. And then she comes on with the apology. Oh, I heard that I hurt some of my black and brown readers. Who says you have black and brown readers, lady? Who says you have that? No. Bitch, we pissed. we're pissed. Because how you write a book and don't know the significance of, you have a book of a title called Hood Rat. And you didn't know the significance of that.
She don't care, baby.
But see, that is the problem. They don't care. And see, for me, I feel like with these white authors, it's not about them writing diverse characters. It's a money grab. I'm going to really need for y'all to just stick to Ken, Barbie, Karen, and Thomas and Timothy and leave us alone. Because this is ridiculous. This lady had a whole fucking series with a prequel. And this segues way into the TikToker that was on TikTok pretty much accusing black readers, saying that this is why white folks don't want to write black characters, because we be scaring them off. Bitch, boo, they need to go. And you can go with them. Because the fuck? And my thing is, y'all get on these apps and y'all say these kind of things. Is these the type of stories you want? Are these the type of stories that you want these white authors writing, representing us as black people? This is what you want? Because that's what you're going to get 99% of the 99.9% of the time. That's what you're going to get. Stereotypical racist ass books. And this is what y'all be fucking clamoring and clapping for. Oh, such diversity. At least she took a chance. I'm tired. It's very exhausting. And I'm telling, every time I see any Black reader or on any platform with that shit, they're being blocked. I don't care. No. I'm not going to be in community with a person like that, because not you digging in Black authors' asses about writing certain stories, but then hand clapping for these white and non-Black POC authors that do the same thing. You're blocked. You're being blocked. Stay over there. Okay? But then when they kick you in the ass and call you a nigga in your face with the hard ER, I don't want you looking over here, because I'm looking the other way.
Ain't that it?
Because that's what they're going to do. 100% of the time, that's what they're going to do. We all got work, but they got more work to do over there. We all got work to do, but they got a whole lot of work to do over there. So I can't be bothered with this. No. The diversity push was to get more Black and POC authors into the publishing world, not to have the same lily white authors writing our stories. I don't need to read a Black story written by a white author. I don't want to read it. No.
But I heard she's from Oklahoma. And you know what? That does not surprise me. These white people in Oklahoma, they're a special breed, okay? Special breed.
Something different. I think this is wild. And then apologies are always, I'm so sorry. No, you shouldn't have did it in the first place.
Okay, she said that she should have had some sensitivity readers. The thing about it is that you don't need sensitivity readers. How about you just not write it at all? And that's the thing. People don't take sensitivity reading or readers seriously.
Thank you.
And some of them need the shit.
At the end of the day, if you're going to have a sensitivity reader, you have to listen to that reader. Don't say you had one or you're going to get one after your fuck up. Okay, and sensitivity readers, this just does not apply to white authors. This applies to Black authors and POC authors as well. Because if you're going to write a story that you have no experience with or no connection with, then you need somebody from that community.
With that story. They feel like sensitivity readers are only for white authors or non-Black authors, because some of y'all need sensitivity readers. Because when I be reading the thing, you ever read something and you just cringe when you read it? I'd be like, come on.
Sensitivity readers are not just for white authors. Sensitivity readers, editors, beta readers are for everybody.
And that's the reason why when her name, Chaselyn, I think that's her name. Chaselyn Hamilton wrote Silver Lining, right? Mm-hmm. And in that book, when she reached out to me and she said that she had them going on a cruise and a major part of that book was going to be set in the Bahamas.
Right.
Y'all can't go there writing scenes from these Caribbean countries. And y'all don't have nobody reading this book, because let me tell you something. When I went on that book, I said, Chaselyn, you need to do us right. Because if you don't do us right,
you're going to get cussed out in a whole different type of Black way.
You'll know about it. You understand? Because some of y'all be writing these Jamaican characters and baby, the accent ain't accenting, okay? It don't make no sense.
Find somebody from Jamaica to read your book.
If you go to Jamaica, find somebody from Jamaica to read your book. Shout out to Chaselyn Hamilton, who gave me an ARC of Silver Lining. And she actually listened to me when I told her about certain things in the Bahamas. And honestly, I really didn't even have to do much, because when I tell you she killed that shit, you know me, I was reading and I was like, okay, I remember this. I was sitting there like, you better don't fuck it up, because I'm a teller. But everything, she had our words, the accent, everything was fine. She did us right.
Right, because if you're a Black American writing about a different Black culture, you need to have a sensitivity reader. You need to have a person from that culture. Like, just because you're Black and they're Black doesn't mean you know anything about their culture with it, especially if you're talking about going to a whole another goddamn country.
Y'all be writing people books. In it.
No, no. Yeah, y'all write these Latina dad characters and everybody is mija and he's, you know, the typical things that get you a person from that the Latina dad community that can help you, especially if you're going to be using any type of Spanish terms in your book. You, Black authors, y'all not exempt from this. You're not. You and need just, sensitivity readers too.
I just read a book earlier, and apparently this one, the male character was on the DL, right? He was on a down low, and he ended up getting his dick sucked by a trans woman. And the girl that he was dating showed up in there, and just the whole scene was just cringe. And then when she said, oh, you sleeping with a man and now I have to go get tested for HIV, and I'm like,
and a lot of Black women like to think they're excluded. It goes back to that stereotype. A lot of Black women in the community like to think they're excluded from homophobia and transphobia, and they're not. Sometimes we're the biggest perpetrators. Straight Black women are the biggest perpetrators of that shit. So yeah, if you're going to be writing trans characters, any character from the LGBT community, and you have no experience in that shit, you need to reach out to someone in that community.
And it's
because then you end up with these book with these offensive ass terms and words in it, and then you're wondering why the people from that community are mad at you. Why would you say something like?
It just came off like the trans character really didn't have a big role. But when you saw that the man that you were dating was getting his dick sucked by a trans woman, the first thing you're going to say is, oh, you're gay. Now I have to get tested for HIV.
As in straight Black men can't be bisexual.
Yeah, so it went right back to that stereotype of gay men having the, you know, the HIV. No, sweetie, these straight men got it too. They got, you should just want to get tested just to get tested. The dialogue was just very cringe, because I was like, that's the first thing you said. And it goes back to that stereotype that they had with gay men and HIV. And it just,
yes.
I was like, a sensitivity reader would have been great to have in that situation. And I also read another book where, and this is coming.
Storyline, you're also putting trans again. There's a lot of shit going on with trans women. And the harm that is coming to them, you know, being murdered and beaten and abused because of thoughts like that. You instantly don't put it on a man. You put it on a trans person that this man was with, and that's not right. You're putting harm towards the trans person with that kind of talk, with that kind of rhetoric. People need to be careful in what they're writing. You can't say my book is for everybody when you're writing transphobic shit. You can't do that. It's not right. And then when people get mad, now you're like, I don't understand what the problem is. No, you understand. You just didn't care when you put that book out. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And then this is coming from the scene. I remember when the timeline was up in arms over that Maureen Smith book when she... They were talking about the cop and stuff like that. I read a Black romance where this lady was like, you might want to go because, you know, the cops is really coming after you guys right now. It was like, this is the same thing.
But see, this is the thing. This is the thing about the community. People pick and choose what they want to be mad at, because that Maureen Smith book was an interracial, right?
Mm-hmm. Book,
and you had the character who the main character was talking to that was anti-Black, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to find that same type of conversation in a Black romance, then it needs to be called out as well. We cannot, mm-hmm. we cannot continue to pick and choose what we want to be mad at. And that's the thing that mostly frustrates me with the book community, with the romance book community. People pick and choose what and who they want to be mad at, who mm-hmm. they want to go at. And that's the most frustrating part about the book community. And it's like, you know, so.
So I was like, interesting. So I screenshotted it and I sent it to you, obviously, and, yep. and somebody else. And I was like, interesting. I'm just going to start calling out all the bullshit, especially the authors who have certain things in their books without content warnings. Because I just read a book the other day that discussed sexual assault and there was no content warning. And I also read another book where there was explicitly a death of a child was discussed on the page and there was no content warning for that. Content warning is not a spoiler.
It is not.
Like, and I even had somebody who was reached out, an author reach out to her about a book, and she reviewed this book. And when she listed content warnings, the author told her, can you remove them? Because they're spoilers. No. Y'all don't care about y'all readers. Just, if you don't care about your readers, just say that. Because
you're going to get a no. Me, you're going to get a no, and you're going to get a block. You're going to get a no, a response of, you don't have to worry about me reading no more of your books, and you're going to be blocked. Because, no. What you want to do with your content and your page as an author is your business. For you to reach out to a reviewer, especially someone you ask to review your book and tell them to do something that goes against what they do on a platform, nah. No, sis. No, bro. No. No. Mm-mm. That's a never gonna read again Arthur for me. Cause no. Because yeah, like Tama said, that means you don't care about your readers. And no. And content and trigger warnings are not spoilers, just like she said. And I always say, and I'm gonna say that shit forever, you don't know who's reading your book. And a lot of people that go through trauma, they dive into reading to take them away from shit. If I just came out of a traumatic experience and somebody, especially if one of my friends recommend me a book and don't tell me that this book got this bullshit in it, if I come across that shit that's going to trigger me, I'm cussing everybody out. The person that recommended the book to.
And this thing was discussed heavily on page and there was no content warning. And I even read one where they discussed...
The death of a child, abuse of a child in any kind of way, shit, that needs a gut. Listen, you need to be CW, TW big. Like, come on.
Yeah. And it's like, man, care about your readers. Like me, a big trigger for me is domestic violence. It's a big trigger for me.
Yes.
And that's a big trigger for me because my mom was a victim of domestic violence. I saw that growing up. I don't read, it's very hard for me to read books with domestic violence, any type of assault. I cannot read that shit. And I shout out to everybody who knows that. And when they recommend me books, they'd be like, okay, it has this on page. Y'all gotta care about y'all freaking readers, man. Like, the least you can do is at least say, hey, this is what's gonna happen in this book. Shout out to B Love. Because when she listed her Mafia series, the way that she listed her trigger warnings in her Mafia series, you know A+. What? Shout out A+. To you, B-Love.
And y'all get up here and y'all fucking complain about Black Mafia books and we gonna read, but them white Mafia romance authors don't put no motherfucking content in trigger warnings, okay, bitches? They don't. But shout out to you, B-Love, because I read that whole motherfucking series. It was fire. But bitch, thank you for the content and the trigger warning. Thank you very much.
I just had to get this off my chest because I'm just tired of going into these books and seeing all this stuff happening. And then I'm going back to the front of the book because I was like, I know there's some content warnings in here. And I'm going back to the front of the book and I'm not seeing anything. And I'm like, okay, all right. We're supporting you. We're reading your books. Care about us. Care about the well-being, the mental aspect, emotional aspect.
Exactly.
Give a shit. Just let me know somebody's going to be assault. Like, this book had literally discussions of sexual assault where this young girl was basically saying, oh, he makes me call him daddy. Like, You need to have a content warning for that shit.
I need a content warning for that because as a person that is a survivor.
You don't know if somebody's a survivor and I trigger them shit, man. Y'all, like, for real. This is really serious.
I appreciate authors who put content warnings in their books, especially when it comes to, like I said, because as a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, I need the content warnings. I need to know because I need to prepare my brain for that. I need to. And a lot of Black people have gone through some type, a lot of Black people have gone through some form of abuse. These things need to be noted. You can't keep doing this. You can't keep saying, you can't keep expecting support from readers and not willing to come to, just put the goddamn warnings in the book. That's it. I mean, because if I come across that and there's no warning, you're immediately going on my do not ever read again, because ain't no motherfucking way. Because then I know you don't give a fuck.
And I can't be just to put sexual assault, it will be sexual assault, you know, death of a child, something. I even want content warnings. I even want content warnings for gaslighting. I would like content warnings for gaslighting. I'm sorry.
Because that should be huge in these books. Child, that should be huge. I'm like, this is... Woo,
and not just from gaslighting from another cat. Family members gaslight too. List that shit.
And I'm not going to put this all on the artist either. I want readers to be more responsible too. Put it in your review, no matter where you review at. Put in your review that this book has content warning, trigger warnings, and listing those warnings. You're not hurting your favorite author. You are not. What you're doing is helping your fellow reader, especially if you're recommending this book. You know, if you're calling your good girlfriend and telling your girl, you need to pick up this book, but you know the shit she went through, and you're not telling her or him about them warnings. I don't know if you're a friend. I'm sorry. You're helping fellow readers. It's okay to support your favorite author, but in the reading community, you're just not friends with authors. You're friends with fellow readers too. And you need to respect their boundaries and their triggers and stuff like that too. And people just gonna have to accept it and deal with it. Like at the end of the day, you just gonna have to deal with it.
I feel like it's just getting out of hand. And I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, where the past at least 5 books that I've read had some triggers in there where it didn't affect me much, but I'm just thinking about somebody else. I'm just thinking about somebody else where I have noticed these triggers, like I was able to identify them. So just list content warnings for your readers. It's just, please.
It's draining. And then if I'm a consistent reader, I don't want to be wrecking books to my friends or my family members, knowing the shit that they went through. I don't want to be wrecking these books to them and having them having a trigger warning and having them getting back at me. Like, you didn't even tell me. Like, because, I mean, once I've read it, I'm not recommending it any way, or at least I'm letting the person know, hey, this is in there, you know, you might want to be careful, you know, but I just think, I don't know where this whole thing started, where people started saying that, you know, triggers and content warnings and trigger warnings are spoilers. I don't even know where that come from, but my thing is, it's just the fact of if you're not respectful of your readers, then I don't know if you deserve those readers. I don't know, you know? I mean, I understand some people, even with content, I mean, even with triggers, can get through those books just fine, but it would just be nice for it to be there. I mean, I don't think it's asking too much. I don't.
It's not.
I don't think it's asking too much, but that's just me, you know? So yeah, it's only right, you know, especially with a lot of these genres. You have dark romance and these bully romances and these mafia books and the shit that goes on in those stories. Yeah, there needs to be some type of content and trigger warnings. I don't really care what you say at this point. There needs to be something warning readers what's going on. All you're giving is, hey, there's knife playing here, there's murder, there's this, there's that. That's all you're doing. You're not telling your whole fucking story with a content and trigger warning. I don't even know where that shit started, but it needs to die. It needs to die quickly. Burn it. That's it. And listen, that's it, you know? But, yeah. I think we've been hitting enough.
I think we've talked enough, and it was nice chatting with you guys. We will be back. I feel like we will be back on a consistent schedule.
Yeah.
Let me clear my throat. I'm just clearing my throat. That's all I'm doing. I had something stuck in my throat, and I was just clearing it.
I feel attacked. Listen, this week was my fault. We're gonna be back on a consistent basis because she got me. Y'all see, she always.
If you feel attacked, that's a personal problem. I ain't say nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
That's how we do it.
If you feel attacked, that is personal. I did not open my mouth. I cleared my throat.
Bless you.
But anyway, it was good catching up with you guys, and we're gonna try to be back on a consistent schedule now that life is not really lifing anymore, and we're back. So
yes,
shoot us a message and let us know what do you want to see from us next.
Yeah, what we would really love to see for y'all, either on the Twitter page or on the Bookstagram page, give us some book suggestions. You know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to put a thing up on Twitter and Bookstagram. We're going to have y'all, not this next episode, but we're going to have y'all pick our next books for the next episode. I think that's what, you think that's a good idea? I like it. Damn.
I don't know. Yeah, nah, I like it.
Right. We're going to come up with some stuff and we'll put it out soon. But this next episode, Tama got me reading the book. It's 500 pages. And y'all, that's how she be doing me, y'all. But anyway, we.
See how she put me under? Y'all see how she do me, right? Judas, I feel betrayed.
Listen. Thank y'all so much for tapping in. We appreciate y'all for always hanging out with us. We're going to be more consistent. We're going to go back to 2 episodes every month. Until the next one, later days. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey y'all, it's Sharonda. If you're at the end of this episode, well, we thank you so very much. Be sure y'all following us on our socials, Instagram and Twitter at Brazenly Shady. Check out the book or books we discussed in this episode. The deets are in the show notes. And until the next bout of shenanigans, we'll talk to y'all then.